Morning, everyone. Morning. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Did anyone else get breakfast in bed?
No.
Yes. I got breakfast in bed. I don't know what's so good about breakfast in bed, but it's just good, isn't it? To not have to get out of bed and your breakfast there for you. Although it's probably rubbish when you go back to bed and you've got to lie in all your crumbs and stuff, you know. So it's not great. I'm going to ask Nick to read out the scripture that we've got. The next part of the series that we're doing on founding fathers. It's Genesis 32, 1-21. If you haven't got a Bible, it should pop up there. I'll let Nick read.
Jacob's gifts went on ahead of him, but he himself spent the night in the camp.
Nice one, Nicole. I haven't got a Father's Day theme sort of talk today, unfortunately. The talk that I was given, the title I was given was Fear Factor, which is a cool title. But I'm excited to give that talk because before I realised I was roped in to speak, I really felt God wanted me to speak on two topics, one of them being fear. So then when I noticed I was roped in to preach and the title was Fear Factor, I was really excited and encouraged because I felt, yes, God definitely wants me to say something on this topic. And the only reason I can really think of why he would want me to talk on fear is that fear obviously has some sort of unbalanced grip on people here that is not healthy or beneficial to us. I can't really think of another reason why he would want me to speak on that. So other than the fact in this story that Jacob was running scared to go back to his brother, which God had clearly told him to do, I'm not going to pick this story to pieces and go into it too much, other than the topic that Jacob was terrified. Although God had told him to do something quite clearly, he was still acting in anxiety, worry and panic. And I believe this morning that the Holy Spirit has stirred me because he wants to do something this morning and he wants to bring balance back into people's lives. And he wants to bring control over our fears. And he also wants to bring comfort and peace. And there's something, you know, that the Holy Spirit that Jesus left is our comforter and brings peace. And he's our friend and our guide. And he wants to bring confidence back to his people this morning. And so God is calling you to respond to him today. So open your hearts, open your minds and respond to the Holy Spirit's prompts. So at some point, he's going to call you to respond. You know, you might not have kids, but even if you did have kids, you could appreciate this. If your child was scared and you could see that it was panicking its face and it's terrified and you could see that it was scared of something, whatever it was, what would be your first reaction? What would you do? Well, I think the natural and first reaction would not be to say, "Man up, will you?" You know, I'm going to say something else then. Sort yourself out. You know, you need to be a little bit more stronger than that. There's nothing to be scared of. Your natural reaction would be pick that kid up. Pick it up and hold it and say, you know, don't worry. It's okay. Nothing to be afraid of. I've got you. You're safe. It's okay. Wouldn't it? That would be your first reaction. Reassure that child. This is how our perfect God feels about us. Amen. You know, our God, the Father, happy Father's Day. This is how he feels about us, and he wants to this morning pick us up and reassure us and tell us, it's okay, I've got you, I'm in control. But to do that, we must turn to him, we must turn to our God and allow him to do that. So what is fear anyway? What is this emotion? It's some sort of chemical reaction in the brain. I'm no scientist or psychologist or anything, but whatever fear is, whatever it might be, it's something that we've all felt to some greater or lesser degree. Everybody knows what it is, and even if you can't put it into words quite what it is, it's hard to describe an emotion without just using other emotions as a description. And there can be many, many reasons why we fear what we fear and what form it comes in. Sometimes our fears are completely irrational. There's a girl who I work with who is absolutely terrified of people who are dressed up. Not just like clowns, but someone came to do a sports day the other day and the three teachers, don't know why, were dressed as leprechauns. And she came out to the toilet and bolted back in and she is petrified. And that's obviously completely irrational. Unless you've had a bad experience with leprechauns. You know, which would be rational, I suppose. And some fears are rational, aren't they? You know, to go to another extreme, if you were going into war, you know, the fear that you might lose your life. We'll put that there. Move out the way. That's a rational fear, isn't it? You know, you might die. So that's rational enough. But fear can be completely overwhelming. It can overwhelm us, our fears. And you've ever been overwhelmed by fear, and it can paralyze you. Fear can hold you in the same place and stop you moving forward. It can control your mind, control your emotions. Fear can be a good motivator. When I was climbing that mountain, I was climbing Kilimanjaro, the fear, we call it a fear, of coming back and telling everybody that I'd failed, motivated me to get to the top. But essentially, fear brings a sense of hopelessness, anxiety, worry, and doubt. And when we are anxious and we worry and we doubt, fear sets in. And when we fear, then, you know, we lose our hope. So the question is, what do we fear? You see, not all of us, but I think if you believe in God, you've got to believe in the devil as well. And he has a major yet subtle part in our fears. And his aim, one of them, is to instill this fear in our hearts. And what he wants to do is he wants us to take our eyes off God, look down, look at our earthly limitations, and he wants to deceive us into believing lies and earthly limitations over believing the truth that God speaks. And the devil wants us to be a church, a people, a nation, an army. These children, we call ourselves children of God, who are controlled by fear. This would be a weak and timid army, would it not? You know, one of the reasons Al-Qaeda are quite a formidable enemy is because they have no fear in death. You know, they're willing to give up their lives for their cause. And the devil wants us to believe our struggles are too big. It requires such a big miracle for God to help me in that situation that I'm almost scared to ask God because it would be massive. Or it could be too small that God isn't really bothered. Why should I bother him about these small little fears in my life? I can deal with these. I should be a bit stronger and I should cope with these fears. Or insignificant or too stupid for God to really care about. Or it's so rational and so real that something might happen that this fear just grips us. It sounds a bit dramatic, but this emotion can creep in and eat away at us and govern our every move, our every thought, and actually drain us of even just having other positive emotions. And it can be dead subtle, and it's something you may have always lived with and think that's just part of you, that's who you are. I'll always have them fears. You know, it's funny how fear can just be like mad. There's a girl in our work, and she'd booked to go to New York, and the holiday was all planned out, and she told me what she was going to do, and they're excited. But she'd convinced herself, for some reason, that there was going to be an accident on the plane on the way there. And the closer it got, the more scared she got. And in fact, to the point where she cancelled her holiday and lost loads of money, just because she just convinced herself that this fear had gripped her and overwhelmed her. Just completely irrational. And obviously that plane made it to where it was. And afterwards she felt stupid and she was telling me and she just felt a bit of a div. But that's what fear can do to us. You can, in our minds, we can lose control in our minds and think irrationally. My sister-in-law, if you know her, Jane, she's looking forward to this bit. I said, you're in my sermon. Recently was being controlled by fear. At an unhealthy level. The baby that she'd wanted and prayed for and had so much heartache for 11 years had come. Her fear was that she might lose her baby, that something was going to happen, and she was terrified. And all good parents are scared, aren't they, that something would happen to their child. But this had become out of balance, and it was an everyday thing, you know, a fear, you know, that you might think about at night, that you think about in every situation. You know, and all you'd want to do is hold the child. You know, and that's unhealthy fear. a worry that something might happen to your child. It's probably good, because then you're probably more likely to watch out for it and make sure it doesn't get into danger. But an unhealthy fear is when it's taking a grip of you. See, the battle we face, the problems we can face, is we feel that we are called as Christians to be strong and bold and confident and brave and courageous as Christians. That's how we feel we should be. So we try and gird up our own strength and go for it. But God isn't calling us to be like that in ourselves. He's calling us to be confident and brave and courageous in Him. You know, when I stand up here this morning and I preach, you don't realize how nervous I get. And I don't sleep at night. And then it plays on my mind. Yeah? But I don't stand up here confident because I think I'm a good speaker. I stand up here confident in God because I feel like He's spoken to me first. So we're not called to be completely fearless. How could I be bold or courageous if I didn't actually feel any fear? Would it be particularly bold and courageous of me to stand up here if I didn't feel any fear whatsoever? That wouldn't be a good, honourable thing. Like if that child came to you in fear, and if that child, say, was afraid of the dark, to help that child's fear, when you pick it up, you could just turn the light on and it's gone. Yeah? If that child was afraid of the dark and you say, don't worry, watch, turn the light on, usually the child would be okay. The light's on. All those fears that was going on in its mind would be okay. And God sometimes does that. And God did that to my sister-in-law, because she was struggling with that fear, and she came up and she spoke it out. And the devil didn't have a grip on her anymore. And we prayed for her. And it was a light switch on, gone. Because I asked her weeks later, how is that? And she said, you know what? I hadn't even thought about it since then. I hadn't even thought about it. I hadn't even realized that it had gone. Just like, oh yeah, not even thought about that. And sometimes God does a light on situation, but sometimes you want your child to learn that it will be safe and that you are always close at hand. And so if you take the child's hand and you reassure it, and it shows trust in you, and it shows bravery and courage and strength in its character, and it shows confidence and trust in you, after a while, that child would then have peace, whether the light is on or whether the light is off. And it'll learn to think, in the dark, when I'm in my bed at home, there's actually nothing to be afraid of. And it can conquer that fear. And you can help it in that fear. Sometimes it's a lesson that we have to learn, that there's actually, you can rely on your parents, you can rely on God, and that there's things we don't have to be afraid of. That's exactly how God is with us. He's not calling for fearless people, but brave, bold, confident Christians in Him. Isaiah 41:13 says, see, this morning, that I feel like because the enemy has whispered so many lies. God's word is truth, and it holds power, and it's alive. And I just feel like to counter those lies, I just want to counter it with truth. I've got loads of scriptures I'm just going to quote. Isaiah 41:13 says, for I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, don't fear, I will help you. That is a promise of God. We must hold on to these promises. You know, I suspect as a Christian, if you actually don't fear anything whatsoever, as we work out our salvation, we are either being supernaturally upheld by His Spirit, or not really truly living in His calling and actually doing anything remotely uncomfortable for Him. When God calls us, it's scary. He very rarely asks us to just do all the easy things. Sometimes He asks us to step out and do scary things, which could be different for different people. Psalm 23 verse 4 says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we know this scripture. So as I walk through life and dark and hard situations, I'll not be overcome by evil and fear. Why not? For thou art with me. Amen. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He's not saying there, I will not have any fear whatsoever. He's saying, in my fear, in that shadow, in life, in the dark situations, God is with me and he will comfort me. You wouldn't need comfort if you weren't afraid in the first place, would you? If there was something to be afraid of. So the psalmist is saying, I'm not going to be overcome by fear because God's with me. My confidence comes through life from the one who goes before me and paves out the way, sometimes blind step after blind step. The one who is my rear guard, he goes behind me and watches my back. The one who is all around me and lives within me. Like I said before, fear can be a good thing. It can bring a heightened sense of the dangers around, can't it? Like a soldier, say, walking through a minefield and is completely unaware. And then someone tells him. The fear and the knowledge and the sense would actually make him start treading more carefully and he'd be less likely to get hurt. He would start treading a little bit more carefully. And that fear will keep him safer. Sometimes we need to recognize danger around us and tread careful so we don't get hurt. But sometimes we need to just take blind leaps of faith. You know, once, when I was a little bit younger, I didn't have quite as much sense as I have today, which is a scary thing, isn't it? And I once jumped off a cliff into a quarry. I've told this story loads of times, and the cliff gets bigger and bigger. And the jump gets further and further, I think. So it was about a mile high. And I had to jump about 30 feet. But I had to make this running jump to make this quarry, and it was high. And I was terrified. And I had about a runoff from here to the edge, so I had about 3 steps. And I had to make the jump, which was probably a couple of metres, because if I didn't, I'd obviously hit all the rocks. So I had to make it into the quarry. And I knew people had done it before, so I wasn't going blind into the water. I had to make this jump. And my biggest fear was when I took 2 steps, the mound that I pushed off was quite round. I was scared I might slip and then die. So quite a rational fear, you know. Not a rational, normal thing to do. But you know what? The only way I could do this jump was to push the fear down and do it anyway, which was obviously stupid. But I did it, obviously. I ran and I jumped, and I launched myself off, and I landed in the water. But I didn't do it okay, because I actually smashed my face on the water and smashed my hand on the water, and my hand swelled up massive, and I ripped my lip up and had to get stitches to stitch my lip back to my face, and it didn't go quite as planned. You know, it's something I'd never do now. But sometimes in life, we just have to take a crazy leap of faith. I didn't let fear grip me and stop me. I just did it. I jumped. You know, sometimes if you take a leap of faith towards Jesus, it's a scary thing. It's the unknown sometimes. You know, what will people say? What will people do? You know, there are fears that you can have when you move towards Jesus for the first time, or, you know, he calls you to do something. But I can guarantee you, after 10 years of knowing him, he won't let you smash your face in. Sometimes we need to weigh up the dangers around us. And we don't act brash, so we don't hurt ourselves. It's just keeping it all in balance, isn't it? The Bible wants to bring balance to us, to our emotions and to our lives. God does. Feel the fear in life, but keep on moving. What do you fear in life? I mean, I could list fears in life forever. I've got loads. People fear the future. I think that's why we go to fortune tellers, read the stars, because the fear of the unknown, of what lays ahead of us, is a scary thought sometimes. People want answers, people want hope. Fear in life, are you just a fearful person generally in life? Sometimes we're afraid of people. What people might say is the big one. And that's something that's held me back. The fear of man, not the fear of God. Fear of being lonely for the rest of your life. Fear of death. Speaking to someone in work about that this week. You know, does death cause you to fear? There's answers to all these. Does fear of failure hold you back? So afraid to try anything, do anything new, because you're afraid you might fail. It's easier and safer to not do it. fear of rejection. So you try and be what everyone else wants you to be, what you think they want you to be accepted, because you're so afraid of being rejected. And you actually can be something that you don't even like in the end. We can be fearful of pain. No one likes pain. You can have genuine phobias, you know, whatever that might be. Snakes, whatever, heights. Fear of getting sick. Does the fear of being sick grip you? I'm scared I might get cancer. Well, I'm not, but you could be. Financial pressures. Repercussions of things that you've done that are going to come back and bite you in the bum. All sorts of fears. I could go on and on and on. But some of us have this unbalanced, unhealthy level of fear in our lives. And by that, we're being robbed. God wants to rectify this today. Another famous scripture, 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 in the ESV, says, "For God gave us a spirit of what? Not of fear." When you come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, his spirit comes to dwell in you, believe it or not. That spirit is not a spirit of fear. It is a spirit of power and love and self-control. And I believe being a Christian, being confident in God and trusting in him, is when we are simply not overcome by our fears and continually choose to trust in him and move forward. Now, part of being self-controlled is taking your thoughts captive. And when those fears come in your mind, sometimes you can't stop the thoughts coming into your mind, can you? They pop into your head. It's uncontrollable, but you can control them and stop them going on. And the best way to do that is counter it with truth. That's what Jesus did. Did we not learn by his example? When the enemy came in and tried to whisper lies into him, he countered it with truth from the Bible. That's what I'm going to do today. All these scriptures are truth. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. "Do you believe it? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Not to worry and have anxiety and doubt and struggle and fear." God wants to put a spirit in you that has hope for a future in him. Matthew 6, chapter 6, talks all about do not worry. Sarah loves it when I say, "Don't worry, babe, it's okay." She loves that because that'll make it all go away. Unless I can offer her a solution and offer something that's going to sort that problem out, just saying do not worry isn't going to change anything, is it? But this scripture, read it, talks about how important you are to God. Now, God looks after the birds of the air, the flowers in the fields. How much more is he going to look after you? He says, just concentrate on seeking his kingdom and righteousness and keep on holding on to God's truth. You've got to battle with your fears and the truth. And do not give the devil a footstool in your mind. Do not allow him to rob you of your joy and your peace and your hope. That's what you're doing. One of my favorite scriptures is Proverbs 3, 5 to 7. You probably all know it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, not just in the easy things, but in the hard things. Lean not onto your own understanding. You know, things in life, you won't understand some of them, things that happen to you. But trust in him, not in your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In everything that you do, it takes practice in your work, with your family, with your friends, in church. Bring God into every situation. Why? For lots of reasons, but he will direct your paths. He'll help you through that shadow of the valley of death. And I read this next bit while I was preparing this. That's why I've quoted it. Which was, for me, was like an add-on to it, but it's always been there. It's like someone else has stuck it on the end. It says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes." It rhymes. But that's not what I want to say. It's this. Fear the Lord and shun evil. I thought, you know what? I've read that lots of times in the Bible. Fear the Lord. Men and women who feared God. What's that all about? Fear the Lord. I've just been preaching on, you know, do not fear things in this life. And now it's saying, instead, fear God. What's that all about? In Philippians 2:12-13, it says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I've just talked about being joyful and peaceful and having hope. Now I have to work out my salvation fearing God with fear and trembling. Weird. What is that all about? What is the fear of God? What's that? It says in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom. Okay. So the beginning of all wisdom is for me to fear God. Is that all about? This is the reverential fear of God. This is a different kind of fear. This isn't about being afraid and being scared. This is a fear, which is, get this. The fear of God is the recognition of the sovereign majesty of God. The fear of, the reverential fear of God is the recognition of the sovereign majesty of God. I cannot put into words what this means, but let me try. You could not look upon the face of God or you would die. Moses could not look at the face of God. He could only look at the back of him or he would die. That is our God. Whenever you get a glimpse of God, of the person, the Father, God, you can only be left in true awe and respect of his being. This powerful God who spoke the universe into being and holds its very existence in his hands. The only reason you breathe is because God allows it. The only reason you're here is because he created you. This God, this amazing God, this powerful God. In fact, he's just got the right that to make us all bow down at his feet because of who he is. It's the way it should be. But this God who, being who he is, in all his supremacy, in all his preeminence over the whole of the universe, is approachable. And when we approach God in this mindset of who we have this absolute privilege to approach, we could just come humbly and fall at his feet. But God says, come here. And he wants to sit you on his knee. This God wants to sit me on his knee. That's his heart. Essentially, this God who is so big is a loving, compassionate, graceful, merciful, good, kind God. That's just, and then when you get that sense of who he is, that is like the reverential fear of God. It's like, whoa, and you can just be, whoa, isn't it? Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Yeah? Confidence. I like that. Confidence. So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You know, there was a time when it was custom to call a Christian a God-fearing man. Many of us are not God-fearing men in this way. God's too wishy-washy, too soft. No, we need to get a real respect of who God is. We want all his blessings and all his goodness and want to actually do nothing for him. We need to be God-fearing men. And women, you can do it too. Oh, I haven't put any women in, but sorry about that. That wasn't intentional. Like Noah. He was a God-fearing man. He wasn't scared of what man might say. He was only bothered about what God wanted him to do. And he built an ark. Like Moses, he had to go back to Pharaoh. And all his fears that he couldn't speak and he was a murderer and whatever. And all of those greats, Abraham, David and Goliath, Peter and John speaking in the early church in the synagogues where Jesus had just recently been preaching and they killed him. Stephen who got stoned, not on Jonga, got killed with stones. Paul, he went and preached to the churches after that. We view these like superhumans, legends of the faith, and rightly so. But the fact is, they were just like you and just like me, and they felt all the same fears as you and I feel. They've got all the same strengths and all the same weaknesses. But they knew and feared God more. But Jesus didn't fear anything, did he? Is that right? In the Garden of Gethsemane, the fear of what lay ahead. Do you sweat blood if you feel no fear? Luke 22:42 says, being in anguish What a word. Being in anguish. What did he do? He prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. That is sheer sick with worry, is it not? You know, Jesus felt fear when he was waiting to be taken away and crucified. But his confidence came from the Father. It says in Hebrews 12, verse 2, for the joy set before him, he enjoyed the cross. Jesus, because he knew what was going to happen, that's why he did it, what he was going to achieve, and that gave him joy in his heart, even though he was sweating blood with anguish. He knew what he was about to achieve, and there was a joy in his heart from it. He was going to defeat the enemy on the cross, and he was going to rise again. Do not let fear hold you back. If God is prompting you to do something, do it. Whether it's a street party, something that you wouldn't normally do, whether it's climb a mountain, which seems ridiculous, just do it, like Nike says. You know, it's time for that response. That God is looking for. Scary, eh? Scary when, you know, God speaks sometimes. But you know what? Right now, the enemy is running scared. I love that. That's why he's really tried to stop me this morning, because I know the enemy is running scared. Scared that people might this morning get set free and that he won't have his claws in them like he does. Scared that people might become a little bit more bold and a little bit more stirred into action and become that army that the enemy would fear. Jesus said, let the children come to me. Those who are fearing, come to me. And when you come to him, now that response this morning is going to be, come to the front. Not because down here, there's special powers. That'd be good. He will come down, won't you? But there is a special power, the Holy Spirit, wants you to make that step forward. And that is a physical step, showing the spiritual realm, showing people here, taking that step of courage and that step of faith. Not letting the worry of what people might think and that people are looking at you behind you stop you getting your peace and freedom and joy that you are entitled to being in Christ. Jesus said, let the children come to me. And you know what? If the light doesn't come on straight away, if he doesn't just flick that switch, trust in God that our God is with you. Emmanuel. God with you. The names of God last week, Jehovah Jireh. He will provide. You know, I do believe God wants to turn some lights on this morning. But also, some people need to take that step of faith and that leap off the cliff and take God's hand. So we're going to sing a song. I don't know if there's any musicians here. If there isn't, I can play that other song if you want. Yeah, play that song. Okay. Don't wait for the song to finish. Come up and people will pray with you. I will pray with you if you want. But trust in him. Hand whatever it is over to him. You can do it. I've got fears I need to hand over to God, which can be subtle. Choose to place your confidence in him over your fears rather than the rational. Do something irrational. Trust in God. So I'm going to play that song. And if you feel that's you, anything, come up to the front and people will pray with you. Yeah, I'll leave it there. Come up and be prayed for. Okay, we'll play this song. This is JR. No fear.